I'll share my experience, strength, and hope for the next 15 to 20 minutes, and I shared my
Yep.
timing preferences. See, not sure how long I will need. All right, so Eddie Abelardo, compulsive overeater.
Hey, Eddie, how are you?
All right, so not really. It's been a good minute since I shared. I think I don't remember if I last shared in person or online. It's been a good while. So when I was approached, my first instinct is always no. But the program is kind of gives me the resources that by resources I mean kind of the capacity to say yes, even when I have the urge to say no. And that's kind of one of the gifts I have of being here today. So as I stand before you, I'm kind of gonna try to channel my higher power and kind of say what I need to say and present for you. So I'm gonna go take lead with what I heard most recently, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now, as a kind of standard formula for sharing my experience. So what it was like. So let me first say, as a benefit of this program, I get to look back on my and my on my of my life and see that before I got to program, I was trapped in the feedback loop of thinking of my way of life through memories and thinking that it was a very particular way, right? I looked at my life as this was what I remember. It must have been what happened. I'm a victim of these memories and these experiences. This happened, that happened, this happened. Poor me, this sucks. What a life. That's the basic narrative that I carried with me coming to this program. That's essentially what I discovered as I came to program. And coming here, I saw through this that through the steps and through you all and sponsors, that I no longer had to hold on to that those frameworks for looking at life. I had broader lenses. I could see more dimensions of those life. I didn't have to see. I could understand how it was more than just what I remembered. There was stuff I didn't know. There were things I didn't feel. And there were things about myself that I didn't know that were probably going on inside of me at the time too. So I just want to kind of give that caveat, because when I first got the program, I thought, my as I lived my story, it was that I grew up, I thought I had an origin story, in that my disease had kind of had an origin. That I felt like I always had a something in me with food was a little weird, but then I saw my mom have this funny relationship with food and heard some purging growing up and would hear it quite often, and it really bothered me and didn't know what to do with it, didn't have a way to talk about it, didn't have any way to make sense about it. And kind of I had that to kind of blame and stuff. So I share that. So I was kind of trapped in that kind of in that mindset, thinking that I would blame that. So what I say now is that I learn now that my mother had her own life and was dealing with life herself, and my family had their own lives and were dealing with life themselves. And I was a little kid trying to be myself. And so I saw I had certain influences. There were certain family dynamics that influenced me, that my mom was working quite a bit, like parents do. Parents work to provide, and we had a place, and we moved a little bit so that we can have a place. And in those experiences, I saw my food behavior just change and shift and adapt. As a result of relationships changing in the family, my parents had divorced when I was 5. That meant lots of shifting relationships. And that also meant my mom, for me, I grew up essentially with my mom, and my family was it was also my family was my extended family. And what was important for me, and what's important to me, is that my family, I have kind of my family are cultural background, Mexican American and Mexican first generation. So we have this blend. And so I say that just because of those, so there's some cultural navigation there that goes on, that's not, I don't think it's unique to just our cultures, but I just think it's something to that I thought about a lot. Let's see. So yeah. So in growing up with my mom, we had these, she has relationships, and I had learned that my mom would enter relationships, and then I was really hurt, didn't know what to do with those feelings. And then what I probably started to do, as I look back now, is I started to hurt myself probably with food to escape and numb the feelings. Is what I was just thinking this morning of how I started to do that. I even recall one painful point that I learned in program that I just remembered in program. There was a point that I was probably about 9 years old when my mom had first entered a relationship, and I grabbed a knife because I wanted to hurt myself. I grabbed the kitchen knife and just stood there, like sat there, like trying to work up the courage to hurt myself. Because I was just so hurt, because I felt like I had already, my parents were divorced, and my dad had kind of was absent, and I thought, okay, here I am losing my mom, and then who do I have at that point, you know? And so when I look back now, I see these patterns, and I see these patterns of how I reacted to these circumstances. So, And these are the things that shaped me along the way. So what it was like, so it's just kind of a little glimpse, as I would get into food and I would sneak eat, as I would go into the raid the pantry, as I would eat at night, as I would go to the bread box and put bread in my pocket and walk to my room and eat it and eat all my Halloween candy on the very same night, the whole bag. And I would eat all my fundraiser candy, and my mom would have to pay for it. And you know, and that didn't really show up on my body. Maybe a little bit more, maybe kind of junior high. But the food behaviors were there. And then, you know, all these feelings and all these practices just kept building up, and all the while didn't have these skills for dealing with life, places, things. And so, you know, again, before program, I would say I grew up, I heard this stuff, and that's why I'm like this. Right? You know, that's kind of, that was me. Now I can look back and look at it very differently. And now I'm grateful that I was loved, and there were people around me that were doing the best they could. And no matter what I may think of what I had, I know that there were people that had worse. I know for a fact there were. And I met some of those people. And it's gut-wrenching to hear some of what they've experienced, to be honest with you. So that just kept going, you know. So it kept going. The way I dealt with food, you know, my mom would kind of try to get some stability, you know, single mom trying to raise me, and in this area, and it was tough. She didn't have a lot of resources. We didn't have a lot of resources, so we'd be back and forth with grandma and trying to make it work. So let's see. What happened? So that kind of carried on. Finally, later on, we got a little bit more financial stability. And then I got so about in high school. So I got to high school about 13, about 14, I think it was somewhere. These eating patterns and behaviors had continued, and I was about almost 400 pounds high school. So there I was, probably about 375, somewhere around there. That 10 minutes. Yeah. That was about 375, 380 pounds. The reason I say I don't know, because the only reason I know is because I was very, I say, very, very fortunate. I had a friend from high school who encouraged me to go to the boxing gym and thought that I would be good for boxing for some reason. And so I didn't want to go. Him and his buddies would go. And so one day, even though I said no, him and his buddies walked over to my house and said, "Get your stuff, you're going with us." And we walked 2 miles to the gym.
Wow.
And we got to the gym. And after that day, I didn't miss a day for 3 months. And after 3 months, I had the key to open up the gym. And what that experience did, and I remember, so I got on the scale, and the coach just said, "Whoa, you're a big boy, but I can work with you." And that was a free little gym, the dirtiest, stinkiest little gym you can ever imagine, with water hose ropes. But this coach was a man that had his own stuff going on, but he had pictures with him and Muhammad Ali. He coached guys that fought Mike Tyson. He had Olympic athletes, some awesome stuff for free. He was giving back his time. And he said he was gonna work with me. Wow, okay. And so, and I and that so this opened up kind of a new thing, a new possibility for me. And this new possibility was, wow, look what I can do with my body and exercise. And this opened up a whole new world that I hadn't been into. And what it opened up was the possibility that if I can control all the levers in my life, all the levers, I can control my weight. I can control this, the food, the exercise, the what I do, the what I don't do, all these mechanisms, whatever the levers are. But it showed me how I can adjust these things. The illusion of it, I should say, is that I can be the weight that I want to be. And so it opened up a whole new avenue for me. And it set me off on a path for a good little bit, exercise bulimia and whatnot, did all kinds of crazy things, some good things with boxing and sports and athletics, some great things. But so a lot of things that were harmful that I'm still paying for today. So I say that because just sharing how that's how exercise kind of kicked in for me. And I got to see how those things and it brought in this new factor to my disease that I still have to kind of deal with today, is like not knowing how to balance too much and not enough in a different way when it comes to being physical and not hurting myself. So it's just another form of it. So that just carried on and carried on. So I lost a lot of weight, and essentially that carried into adulthood. I'm gonna fast forward a little bit, and I just kept having these strange behaviors. And I'll share a story I used to share ways back, that I started seeing a therapist. I couldn't figure things out, so I maintained somewhat a healthier weight through all this crazy exercise, crazy dieting. But then I was kind of going, felt like things were just too much with my anxiety and whatnot. And I was had an anxiety attack at work, and I felt like I was gonna die and black out on the floor at work. And I was working in a big institution, and that couldn't happen there. And then I had a major toothache. Like, it was really killing me. And then for some reason, I was cra I saw a Subway sandwich, and I had the Subway sandwich, and then my toothache was gone. It was amazingly gone. And that really shook me how that physical food removed that pain from me. It just really shook me. Emotional pain, I was like, yeah, I know it. Like, the fullness kind of mixes up all the signals, and yeah, I get that. But physical pain, like, that really got me. And so I actually shared some of that with the therapist, and she actually recommended OA. So, very grateful for her for that. So, okay. So, all right. So that's what brought me to OA. Being here. Let's see. It's been a great a journey for me. I had a good 8, 9 years or so run. I got here when I got to program. I was single. I was dating my wife. I've been dating my wife for a number of years. Then we got married. Two kids. We're growing family and whatnot. And then I felt like it's part of my disease because I learned, for one of the ways I dealt with not feeling good about myself over the time of not learning how to feel good about myself is accomplishments. And so I felt like I needed one more accomplishment, right? This one accomplishment was gnawing at the back of me because of something. And what I would say is the experience of growing up, of some of the voices in my head from teasing and stuff from growing up, was one more accomplishment. Not being able to counter them was thinking I needed to do this, feeling compelled to do this. I needed to do this, and more importantly, that I need to do this and drop out of program and saying I can get back in program afterwards, right? It's not that I needed to do that. It's that I felt like I needed to drop out of program. So I felt like I needed to finish, I needed to drop out of program to finish a dissertation for my doctorate. I felt like I absolutely had to. There's no way I was going to do it. I needed to go 100%. This is the all or nothing, right? I needed to do this to, I absolutely cannot write. I cannot get my brain together. There's no room for God in this dissertation, right? Right? There's just no room. I need to write. There's no room, right? And like that's the mindset I was in, right? Even after 19 years, and what I can tell you is that led to probably about 65-pound weight gain, something like that is where I'm at now. And it's like I'm like 4 years back, I think this July, it's about 4 years back, and still kind of trying to get myself together and still trying to get to my higher power to get me back together. Is where I'm at. And so that's where I'm at now, and that's what happened for me. And what it's like now is I'm still I'll be honest, I still really struggle with coping and giving up, and I need to give up like wanting I want packed rooms. I want energy, the energy of packed rooms that we had in the past. So I have to reconcile that too every time. I really loved when we had a big group right here, a big group in the center, and a big group right here. Just the energy of knowing like it was popping off. You had to fight. You had to fight for your time. There was no dead space. There was zero dead time. And it was a mix of perspectives and a mix of everything, mix of all over the place. And not that we don't have any of that, but that's not where we are today. And we have a great program today, and I want to be present to appreciate it, but my brain is finding some reason to not be present again, and that's one of the excuses it's making, right? So and I'll just be honest about how I struggle with letting go of that. But I do know is I appreciate being here because I know that when we first started, it was only about three of us on Saturdays coming back. It's been a very slow, and so I appreciate everyone being here and everyone being online, because definitely having those of you folks online has made it richer. We get from all over the country and the world, and it's beautiful to hear the experiences and the connection happening. So now meetings, in-person meetings, are primarily it for me. I do try to dial into phone meetings when I can. on the way to work, on the way home from work, during lunchtime. I try to take walks when I can at lunch and just listen to a phone meeting, listen to a podcast, listen to a recording. Still looking for someone to work with for a sponsor. I haven't quite found anyone yet. So I've got a food plan. My food plan essentially 3 meals a day, nothing between. I work that in perfectly. I don't eat meat, so that's not. I don't usually come out share that, but that's part of how I eat. So that people don't think that you can still be plant-based and overeat, right? Like overeat carrots and whatever else. This doesn't matter. Extra calories are extra calories. So let's see. Yeah, and so what it's like now? So yeah, now I'm just going to more meet. I'm trying to go and connect with more men who might have experience that can guide me through and help me connect to my higher power and the strength of my program, and I am seeking more to continue to broaden my spiritual path as I think this program directs me to do. That's all I have. Let's see, where are we at with time?